Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. We are diving into the next running back tier here. And this is really your one-year window on vets. This is a pretty big tier, and it has a couple of similarities. Everyone's like 27 through 29 years old. Everyone has at least two, if not three, top 12 seasonal finishes. At least three top 24 seasonal finishes, and all are coming off of finishes in the top 24 in 2022. So a lot of similar profiles. When you hear that, especially at a similar age, especially when the age is one in the higher later 20s, that is at a relatively fragile position, or the most fragile position, instant alarm bells should be going off. Arbitrage, 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 arbitrage. Some of these profiles are better than others, and some of them may age better than others, but I do think you have to be very careful in the range of taking specific bets, right? Of taking very certain bets in this range, because they're pretty costly if you miss, right? So that's, I think, the big sort of overarching thing of this. We'll start with Eckler, because I think he's different. He is different because A, he's coming off running back one finish. B, he is the only person here with a single digit ADP. He's running back four. And then basically you've got a whole bunch of guys that are between 10 and we'll call it 33. 33 is the low end. You've got basically the teens taken up like by half of these guys. So it's a pretty robust group of players. It is also, when you think about this, like when you start looking around the NFL, you start thinking, wow, like there is a lot of backfill that's going to come in, right? There's a lot of guys that are have been high-end producers, right? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 top 24 seasonal finishes in this tier. As many as 6 top 12s, right? All of them multiple top 20, top 12 finishers, right? And a lot of pedigree that is hitting the age cliff kind of all at once, right? So it's Eckler, it's Mixon, it's Dalvin Cook, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Nick Chubb, Alvin Kamara, Leonard Fournette, Ezekiel Elliott, James Conner. I think a couple of things are particularly important. So I think Eckler is different for a couple of reasons. One, I think he ages well. Two, the touch count isn't super high, right? He is not the this major touch player that some of these other guys are, right? He doesn't have the wear and tear of a guy like Joe Mixon, for example, and that's a positive thing. The other thing is right, I think he can age in an optimized way, right? Even if they bring in someone that does a lot of the carries, right? That does a lot of, that handles some of the interior work, right? He still has a pretty viable fantasy outlook, right? When you look at him, for example, only 811 carries in his career. It's not that many, right? A career high of his season high is 206. He had 204 last year, right? So not taking all of the beating. Again, lots of receptions. It caught 100 balls last year, right? That's a career high in touches. But it's not the interior grinding away that some of these guys in this tier have on their resumes, right? So I think that's one of the big things. Some other things too to think about in this tier, like when you look at Eckler, I think he is actually due for a contract in a way that a lot of these other guys are not. Eckler has been underpaid, basically, on his second contract in the NFL. He's one of the only running backs in recent memory who has signed a good team-friendly second contract, right? I mean, it is a he has surpassed it, which is pretty remarkable when you think about it. So, because all of these other guys largely have been underperformers who were really good on their first the first contract, have been underperformers just because it's really hard for running backs to overperform.
So when you look at the total touches for these guys and how they rank in their career, what you'll see is really high, right? And you'll see kind of why I think Eckler's a bit different, James Conner's a little bit different. Zeke first, 2186 in terms of touches, active. He's the number one guy. Number three active is Derrick Henry, 1877. Kamara is the sixth highest amount of touches for an active player with 1565. Mixon right behind him at 1545. Dalvin Cook right behind him at 1503. So kind of consolidated there. That's kind of one tier. Almost if you were to think about it, it's a year behind Henry and volume, right? If you were to sort of think of it that way, which makes sense given their 10 years in the league. That is a sensical thing. After that, it's Fournette, who is sort of hanging on behind that tier, about 100 behind Mixon, for example. And then after that, it's Chubb is 11th at 1329. Aaron Jones, 14th active at 1277. Eckler is the 17th active at 1200 even. And then James Conner comes in at 18th active at 1124. So already what you see is you see kind of a gap. You see a group of guys in there together, right? Kamara, Mixon, Cook, and we'll call it Fournette. That's kind of a group. About a year older than them in terms of touches is Derrick Henry. And another year older than them, it's more than 300 touches more, is Zeke, right? And again, when you think about sort of their times in the league, that makes sense. In 16 and 17. And, you know, some of the guys were part-timers. Derrick Henry, for example, and Zeke came in at the same time. But Henry didn't get the elite work touch. Workload touch until a couple years into his career, and Zeke was basically an every down player from the jump, right? So that's kind of the pace that they go on. And then again, the guys a couple years later are that the 17 class is right there, you know, a little bit behind those guys. So I think that is one, you know, that's one part of the of this calculus. The other thing I would say is, like, when you look at the contracts, it's the bottom four guys in touches actually have the contracts that look good, which is funny and an interesting arbitrage opportunity for sure. Chubb looks pretty good on his contract in terms of where he's at. It's going to be he's basically extended through 2024. They could save really $12 million cutting him if they were to sort of go that route after this year. So it's on a one-year deal. I think the again, why they're all in one-year contract windows, I think that this is a good example of it. You can either be kind of at risk of getting cut this year and then kind of playing, you know, trying to come in to 2023, you know, you could get cut early in the off season and then you try and come into 2023 in a 1 year starter window, trying to prove it someplace else, or you're kind of secure on your deal this year. Chubb's one of those that's secure on his deal this year, right? They could save $4 million by cutting him. They'd take like almost an $11 million cap hit. So the math is there. Again, he actually overperformed his contract last year just because his cap number was really low. and over the cap, really liked his performance last year. $13 million, like, that's in line with what he'd make this year. It's not going to be fully there, but that makes some sense. And then, you know, we'll see what happens going into next year. It's probably going to be the same situation that Austin Eckler's in, right? So Chubb, I think, is safe, and it matches up with being on the lower end of the touches in this range. Eckler's the other one. We look at last year of a deal. Again, his value has been just exceeding his contract basically since he signed it. You know, they could save $6.3 million cutting him. They're not going to do that. They're more likely to extend him, would sort of be the thought. Again, there's a couple of years in here where you could say, hey, he could play to 30 and still not be, you know, it'd still be like behind Zeke and Henry. Like, he could play to 30 and not catch a couple of these guys with another full season. So, in terms of touches. So you kind of like where he is at, and he might turn into being a guy in a multiple-year window if they decide to extend him this offseason. James Conner's the other one, really locked in. This year, not a ton of competition behind him, team that's not really going anywhere, but I think that could overshadow him a bit. And then you look at Aaron Jones, who just committed – you know, just took a contract restructure to basically commit to be back there in 2023. I think all three of those guys are really arbitrage candidates in this tier. Again, Chubb's the second most expensive of these at running back 10. Eckler's at running back 4. But Connor, all the way down at running back 29, is pretty interesting. And then Aaron Jones is at 21. Again, can you take a little bit of a discount off of someone like Henry? You know, I can't imagine that Mixon to Aaron Jones plus is happening right now. But something to explore. You know, the other thing too is I would consider making some arbitrage moves off of Eckler. Right? I mean, that's the thing that, you know, let's see what happens with the contract. I think this one could set up well for Eckler, but. He's like the one that I would say could be in a couple year window here, as the season, this off season goes along. But if he's not, does a pivot to a guy like Aaron Jones make some sense? Again, does Aaron Jones have that ultimate ceiling? It's tough to say, right? And I think he's one of those guys that's going to probably get hurt value wise by Aaron Rodgers leaving. I'm not sure it necessarily hurts him that much, right? So that's the other thing, right? Kind of how do these offseason storylines play out with these guys? I think if I was sort of to set a plan here, I would be interested in guys like Connor. I'm interested in guys like Aaron Jones. I'm interested in, to a lesser extent, Chubb. And Eckler is interesting, but you got to be careful of paying that price for a 28-year-old running back coming off a running back 1 finish, right? Why? A couple of things that happened there. One, you're getting positive injury variance for sure. That's baked into his cost. And again, what do we know about running backs? The best time to buy a running back, right? There's so much risk in a running back, and they're so dependent on. They're so subject to injuries. Based on their production, right? Their value is so much subject to injuries that if you buy off a high, right, you're really buying off of good luck. And if you buy low, you're kind of buying with the idea of, hey, good luck can really, you know, if I'm buying sort of at the bad luck cost, and good luck can really help me. Otherwise, it's discounted and it's not going to hurt me too much, right? That's kind of the thing you have to think about with Eckler. So, again, what else do we know about Eckler? Right? Running back 2 finish, running back 1 finish in back-to-back years. That's not super common, right? Not super common. He has a rare way he scores in terms of a ton of receptions, right? It's a walking touchdown a game type player. But, right, injuries and the like can wear on a player, and he's not that big. Right, so you sort of look at that again. He would be under the size you would think of, more than the standard deviation under the size you'd think of for a top 12 finisher. So that's, you know, that's kind of his profile. Again, I think he's an awesome player, but he does come with risk that high at the position, and he's only up there because of how productive he is. A couple other things I think about in this range, right? You have Mixon, I think, is a threat to get cut. So is Dalvin Cook. They could potentially move on from Derrick Henry. Tennessee could. I'm super fascinated by what their offseason looks like. I don't have a great sense of what they're going to do. You could talk to 10 different people and they'd have 10 different takes on what Tennessee's going to do. I was just talking to someone today who was saying, you know, I think that they move on from Ryan Tannehill, see what they have in their young quarterbacks, and potentially they're picking really high next year, right? I keep coming back to saying, like, how does this team win a Super Bowl? And if that's your goal, I don't think that this team has that. I think the window on that, if it was ever open, is shut now. I guess it has to have been open if you were a one seed, but I think it's probably shut now. Does that make Derrick Henry a potential cut candidate? Right. If they move on from Ryan Tannehill, does it become a situation where they're a bit of a package deal? Right. And we've seen some of the erosion of some of the ancillary metrics for Derrick Henry. Again, they could save basically a little over $6 million by cutting him. They have a couple of dead cap numbers here. In the following 2 years, they basically are taking $10 million in dead cap over the next 2 years, just based on the way his contract structured, even though he will be a free agent. So, again, there's a lot of risk factors in this range. I think when there's a lot of risk factors, right, you use that as a situation to arb down and use as a situation to find some safe jumping off points. I think Aaron Jones is a safe jumping off point. He would be a guy I'd probably target in startup drafts, right, in the running back 20 type range. I think that's interesting. Again, he's at 66 overall according to Fantasy Calc. That puts him sixth round, right, sort of in that range. Dylan's going basically 12 picks after him. Dylan's 3+ years younger than him. So that's an interesting spot there. But, like, Zeke, for example, is going cheaper than that. And James Conner's actually going cheaper than Zeke, which – to me, I think I'd rather have James Conner at this point. So that's kind of the deal. And again, because I think Zeke could conceivably be cut. We'll see. But you could get to a spot where you're in August and you're like, all right, I need an innings eater in the running back 3 range of the position, and Zeke's back with Dallas, and I could see like that being a viable solution. Right. I think right now the strategy would differ a little bit than it might in August, right, when we sort of get some better clarity on some of these situations. Connor is a bet that I'd rather take if I was going older at the position than Elliott. And heck, Cam Akers is in that range too, and I think I'd rather take a swing on him almost for certain than either of those two guys, just because I think he's got a wider higher potential ceiling. Right, I think both value-wise and production-wise, even though I think a Connor 2023 median projection is probably going to be higher, for example, than an Akers one would sort of be my initial thought. Right. So another way to look at these guys is to look at the ADP over at Underdog, which is basically your redraft ADP that we have right now. Eckler's running back 2, behind only Christian McCaffrey, which is, again, why he's so different in terms of his cost. Derrick Henry's at 6. And then you've got, going down here, Chubb is at 10. And then keep going down, Mixon 16, Dalvin Cook 17, Aaron Jones 19, Kamara 24, just looking further here. Zeke is at 37. Right, so you keep looking down. Fournette's 44. Right, so you start really whittling away there. I think I said Connor's at 28. That's really your list there. So again, there's a there's that gap there. But the question is, do you want to pay, you know, it becomes a balancing test, right? Do you want to pay, you know, running back? Do you want to pay a lot more for a guy like Nick Chubb than Derrick Henry, who's going to be basically four or five spots ahead of him? Right, I mean, that becomes a balancing test of what you of what your preferences are. I think one of the best blends here, though, Chubb is a safe bet kind of for this year, whereas I think some of the guys behind him could be whittled away. Then the question you ask is, like, what if a guy like Dalvin Cook gets cut? What's the market for him look like? I don't know. And there's going to be some depth at the running back position in the draft. I think the position is generally deep, right? Is he going, you know, is he going ring hunting? You know, what does that look like? You know, is a team like Kansas City in the market for a guy on a 1 year, on a 1 year deal, you know, almost the way that they've done with Jerick McKinnon, right? Is that a situation you could see? Is one of these guys landing in a situation like Buffalo, right? What would Cincinnati's backfield look like if Joe Mixon is caught, right? Could they save a bunch of money and potentially bring someone in cheaper that looks a lot like the same profile, right? So I do think that there's jobs out there that are open, but I do think there's a chance that some of these guys are left without a chair and go into a situation that's far worse than they're in right now. So that's kind of the risk where all these guys are. Again, I think Aaron Jones is the interesting safe spot, even though he's not super different than his ADP. There's not really a gap in his ADP in redraft versus dynasty, although I think that'll probably, I would imagine his price goes up based on some of his contract certainty. But I think it is notable that Mixon hasn't fallen based on some of his off-season news. Kamara has kind of is slipping a little bit down to 24, but hasn't changed a ton really in his draft position here. In recent weeks, so here actually he has slid around. I should say I misread this thing. He has slid about a round in ADP over the past like couple of weeks here. So in the redraft market. So you sort of get the idea. Like there's some movement going on. And Aaron Jones is basically kind of the market. I don't think has reacted super much to his stuff yet. We'll see here over the next couple of weeks. But I think maybe this is a situation where you could potentially pounce and say, all right, let's consolidate one of these guys into Aaron Jones, right? Let's, you know, can we move Dalvin Cook for Aaron Jones plus, right? Is that there, right? That would be a spot that I would explore. I'd kind of explore arbitraging all of these, right? Can you move Zeke for Aaron Jones, right? Can you move, maybe it's Zeke plus for Aaron Jones, right? It's probably going to be what it requires. But I would explore some of these different machinations. Again, Connor's a jumping off point. You could go even further down. You know, can you go Eckler to Aaron Jones plus a first? I'm not sure that market's going to be there in Dynasty, but that's something I would explore, right? I would explore a lot of different things with the idea as well that, like, I'm open to any ideas and I'm open to, and I don't necessarily know how the market's going to feel, right? Because there's a lot of different. There's going to be a lot of different preferences, and a lot again on a guy like Eckler as well. Like he's high priced, so you know there's going to be some bad deals for him, but there's going to be some interesting consolidation ones, like a second and J.K. Dobbins for Eckler. Like I'm on the Eckler side of that. Eckler for Diggs, I'm probably on the Diggs side of that, right? A second and Eckler for Jonathan Taylor, I'm on the Taylor side of that because it's a consolidation into cheap years, right? Eckler and Mike Williams for a first. I'd be curious to know where the first is. But you get the idea. Like, there's going to be a variety of different moves here for some of these guys. Just when you look at a guy like Chubb, for example, we'll just pull up a couple of other ones here. Deontay Johnson and a third for Nick Chubb. Who's going to more influence your winning? You know, from a roster construction perspective, Deontay Johnson might help you. I don't know. You'd have to see there. But Kenneth Walker for Nick Chubb, that happened like late in the season this year. It's clearly a Kenneth Walker deal, right? So there's a couple of firsts here with like some throw-in guys for Nick Chubb. I'd imagine those are later ones. So you sort of get the idea. I'm not probably sinking a, you know, if I could, I'm not going to sink like a future 2024 first into these guys because not they're not top 30 assets. But I would also say like it, when you're thinking about these and a startup draft, right, arb these down. Right, just sort of apply this in a startup draft and say, all right, would I rather take, you know, at I don't know, in the third round Nick Chubb or in the fourth round Dalvin Cook, or would I rather, you know, take some future equity and move down and get James Conner? Right, those are kind of the ways that I would potentially be thinking about some of these things. So this is a place where you, I think it's worthwhile spending some time and some energy, you know, really sort of working through where you have these guys, right, and exploring, because I think it's going to be different from league to league. It's going to be different from GM to GM. And I'm not necessarily sure people are on that this looks so much like a tier of these guys. So again, up at the top at Eckler, it's going to feel a lot different for people than looking at Kamara, for example. But that also, that Nick Chubb to, or that Derrick Henry to James Conner drop might look equally wild to other people as well, right? So I'd be exploring all of these avenues, right? Where you have them, try and trade between them, right? This is some arbitrage opportunity. And heck, you might even be able to make one trade in a league where it's, you take, you know, a player down, you know, you trade one player for another and get a plus, and then trade that the same player plus something lesser for the upgrade to another one, right? You might be actually be able to get some free stuff there, right? So, so yeah, that's all stuff I'd explore. I think this is a potentially lucrative way to open up some roster flexibility and potentially get some future assets. You know, in the team building guide, one of the things I talked about was like fixing different positions, and you can, you know, just try and carve out some additional equity. You can carve out some solutions on your roster, it just by be willing to move within a profile. This is a great example of that. It's a really interesting profile to potentially move between. So looking at all that stuff, you know, mixing the James Conner plus, like, what does that look like? I don't know. I'm open to those ideas. I'm open to exploring them where I have these guys. So that'll do it here for this edition. Again, if you've got a marching order from this, go explore this tier in the trade market. I think there's certainly some stuff where you can potentially make some profit. So that'll do it here for this edition. Till next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.